Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only.
Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with your host, Pete Talbot, along with Dr. Samara Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you an opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here's your host of Leading Edge Medicine, Pete Talbot.
Hey! Good morning, everyone. This is always fun being on 570 KVI. Been here since 1999. How about that? So you can't get rid of us, folks. That's just the way it is. We're glad you tuned in today. If you have a question, you can bet that Dr. Samara Umat and today, again, Dr. Jerry Mixon will have some answers for you. If you want to call in, you can do it right now at 1-888-312-5757. 1-888-312-5757. Now, let me point something out. Now, we talked about this, Jerry, earlier in the first 2 hours, because we start at 8 o'clock. We do 2 hours on another station in town, and then these 2 hours here on 570 KVI. But a couple of hours ago, Jerry, you had some real interesting information. We haven't had a huge focus lately about the pandemic, you know, COVID-19, but some interesting things happened because of politics.
Yeah. Well, Facebook basically banned a Trump PAC from running any political ads. They ran a video in which Mr. Trump had commented that children appeared to be essentially immune to the coronavirus. And Facebook decided that this was false material and not just took down the ad, but banned the PAC from running any more ads for 90 days. Effectively, until the election is over.
Isn't that disgusting?
They can run political ads after the election.
Amazing.
But not before.
It's just freaking amazing.
Well, yeah, especially in light of a article this week by the New England Journal of Medicine that says that children are in large measure immune to from the virus. And, you know, as I reflect on this, Mr. Trump is not a doctor, nor does he play one on TV. But he has a lot of world-class medical experts around him. And what seems to be happening all too often is those doctors will tell him something. For instance, a few months ago, he made a comment in public about ultraviolet light killing the virus and question whether or not we could just shine the light inside people and get rid of the virus. And that appears to have been because that very week, a few days before his comment, there was a study showing that ultraviolet light is very effective at killing the virus. And someone apparently told him about this. And as non-doctors often do when doctors say things, he garbled it. And he took something that the doctor said probably correctly, but lay people take medical facts and misconstrue them and screw them up. And Trump is no different from a lot of the people that call on this show. You know, we tell them one thing and, you know, then we get an email saying that we said something totally different. So that's just the way it works. In this case, New England Journal of Medicine just published another study, and this one showed that less than 2%, about 1.8% of all the people that have gotten this virus have been children. Less than 2% of kids have been the victims. Well, it turns out that in the study, what they found is the ACE2 receptors. These are receptors that are involved in maintaining blood pressure and vascular resistance and so on. The ACE2 receptors are the primary receptor that the virus bonds to. And older people have a lot of ACE2 receptors. Children have almost none in their respiratory tract. And so children don't have very many of the receptors that the virus can bond to, which is why children, by and large, don't catch the virus. They are immune not because of their immune system per se, but because they simply don't have the receptors in their nose and throat that the virus can attach to. And as they get older, they start forming these receptors. So Mr. Trump was right. You know, he used the wrong words, because it's not an immunity per se, and yet they are not susceptible to the virus. The vast majority of children are not susceptible to the virus because they don't have the receptors the virus needs to bond to. So, and because they do have a very robust immune response, the small number of viruses that do attach to their small number of receptors are handled very efficiently by their immune system, because they don't get an overwhelming infection like grown-ups tend to do. And so when kids do, that tiny percentage of children that will catch the virus, they tend to throw it off very, very quickly. Mm. Now, Facebook doesn't want the schools to open. So Facebook does not want to have out in public videos that say kids aren't going to catch the virus. They want the schools to stay shut, because if the schools are shut, the parents can't work. And if the parents can't work, well, then the economy doesn't recover. And if the economy doesn't recover, well, then their candidate has a good chance of getting elected. It's pretty straightforward.
Disgusting, but straightforward. Straightforward,
sure. Yeah, yeah. There's a real motivation there. But the science says less than about 1.8% of the people who catch the virus will be kids. And they will, by and large, get tiny, tiny infections that are not going to put them at great risk.
So how many kids have died in this country from COVID?
Well, it depends on how you define kids.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, we're back to Mr. Clinton. It all depends on what the meaning of is.
Okay.
In this case, it depends on what the meaning of a child is. If you use the legal form, the legal term, okay, that is 18 years of age. So at 17 years, 11 months, and 29 days, you're a child, and the next day you become an adult.
All right. All right. So, well, grade school.
Yeah, but if you're talking about elementary school children,
yeah,
three
kids have died
in the country,
in the United States.
Yeah.
But I understand those virus. Three kids had some pretty serious.
They had underlying diseases. Sure. If you've got a kid who's a cancer survivor, if your kid has had chemotherapy or, you know, immunotherapy, if your kid is a juvenile rheumatoid arthritis victim who's got a defective immune system that's already attacking his body, if you've got a kid who is really sick, if you've got a kid who is a type 1 genetically triggered diabetic, for God's sake, no, don't send that kid to school. But guess what? Don't send him for the flu either.
Yeah.
Because we've had three kids in that age group die. 171 have died of the flu this year.
And three from the virus.
Yeah. So, you know, you got 25 times the chance of dying from the flu than you do of COVID.
Yeah,
and we aren't shutting the schools down for the flu.
Yeah.
And, you know,
it really is political, isn't it?
Well, by and large. Now, I understand why some teachers, because teachers are not kids, and some teachers are fat. Some teachers are diabetics. Some teachers have high risk factors. Those teachers shouldn't teach this year. You know, furlough them. Don't renew their contract this year.
Yeah, but the teachers,
they're high risk.
The teachers union generally, I mean, they're asking for open borders. They're
open
asking
borders,
for everything.
The Green New Deal.
It's obviously political.
Well, and they want to shut down all the private schools and all the charter schools too. Yeah,
of course.
They want to get rid of all the competition. No, but I don't. Well, maybe New York and California is dumb enough to do that, but I don't think most states are that foolish. I hope.
Oh, I don't know. Michigan?
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. That's interesting anyway.
But yeah, the the schools, certainly the elementary school should be open. It actually gets a little iffy when you're looking at upper teenagers. You know, 15, 16, 17-year-olds, you're starting to develop your adult physiology. You know, biology doesn't know about our legal fictions. Mm. You know, adolescence is not a biology issue. It's a political, social issue. We invented adolescence. Mm. They are becoming adults, and they increase their risk as they get closer to, you know, to maturity.
Well, this is all good stuff. It's nice, actually, that we haven't had to talk a whole lot about the virus lately. We always can. You can call about the virus, or you can call about anything else. We have two lines open right now as we go into a break. If you want to call and have a ask a question of Dr. Umat or Dr. Mixon, here's the number, 1-888-312-5757, 1-888-312-5757. Anything goes, and we'd love to hear from you. And we'll be back before you know it.
Born to be.
My husband and I have been listening, so you guys are absolutely delightful. The three of you make this perfect gem. We are planning to become patients very soon, and we love the information that Dr. Mixon conveys. It can't be found anywhere else.
By your side, satisfied.
Look at the big
ones. That's right.
Because I was born.
Okay, welcome back here. 18 minutes past the hour. Pete Talbot, you're listening to Leading Edge Medicine. Sponsored, of course, by Longevity Medical Clinic. Who else? Been around since 1998 and on the air here on 570 KVI since 1999. I think the fall of 99. So this is fun. And we've got a couple of lines open. One line open now at 1-888-312-5757. I do need to make possibly just this one announcement during these 2 hours, maybe again. But the free health analysis appointments, as I said during the last 2 hours, kind of good news, bad news situation. We've been doing so well. Longevity has just been so freaky busy. And I think it's because of the pandemic, and people are starting to realize, hey, it's time to get serious about this thing we call health. It's now can even get into the life and death situation. Well, it always has been, but now with the pandemic. So the free health analysis appointments have, they kind of go like hotcakes. And we only have 19 available, at least at 8 o'clock this morning when we got on the air on the other station. At 8 o'clock, we had 19 appointments available. Last weekend, 46 appointments were booked as a result of this radio show. So when I'm telling you that 19 are available, there's probably a handful left. And what's really odd about it is we have none available in Tacoma. One, at least earlier today in August, at our Kirkland Clinic, but we have 17 available in Linwood. We have no idea how that oddity imbalance happened, but hey, we got 17 in Linwood. So there's probably still some available up there. And if you would like one or two, if you're like married, for example, a lot of husbands and wives come in and do them back to back. They often do them together back to back, but still back to back. And so if you want one, they're available on a first-come, first-served basis. So we encourage you to go quickly. And the reason they're going so quickly, especially quickly right now, is because through August only, we're making available the free $100 of longevity supplements. We're not doing that after the end of August. We may do something else, but we just honestly, we have no idea. All we know is that we're super busy, busier than we have ever been in our almost 21-year history of longevity. And but we are honoring the $100 of supplements through this month. So if you want the supplements, grab an appointment now. Many of you have thought, well, I'll get to it this fall. You know, well, okay, good. They'll be available. We're going to do free health analysis appointments in the fall. But only through August are we going to make available the $100 of free longevity supplements. Enough said. If you don't get the point, you don't get the point. If you want an appointment, go to our website. I suggest right now, lmclinic.com. Push the button that's obvious right there. It'll take you 3-4 minutes at the most. Easy to do, even if you're not comfortable with computers. Easy to do, I promise. lmclinic.com. And one final thought. Yes, they're available in Linwood. You live in Tacoma. Well, I think for $100, you might make a day out of it. Drive to Linwood. Do the free appointment. If you decide after you get the results back, during the appointment, by the way, you get the results back of the two free tests, and you decide, okay, yeah, I want to become a patient at Longevity, well, you can be a patient in Tacoma. It's just the free appointment has to be in Linwood, at least for right now. Okay, lmclinic.com. Let's go to Winlock and talk with Jerry. Jerry, thanks for calling in.
Well, thank you so much for taking my call. Last November, I had a, fibrillation of the atrium, I believe it's referred to. And I went to the hospital, spent 9 days there in Providence Hospital, and they gave me drugs and they calmed down and they released me. The point I'm going to make to you is that at the time they did a scan of my heart and the receiving valve, I guess it's atrium, correct me if I'm misspeaking, but the receiving aperture to the right atrium, I guess, of the heart, the valve was 1.2 centimeters squared, so that was its physical size. I recently had another scan, so now we're talking about many, many months later from last November to now, and it's down to 0.65. Now, I've been taking the drugs constantly because their thought was to perhaps replace the valve in my heart with the usual methods of, I guess, a PEEK valve or something like that. Or I've been on drugs because of this coronavirus, and I take, I'm going to mispronounce these, I know, but I take, I think it's Paceverone, Eliquis, Coreg, Lanonox, Lanosin, I guess it is, and then Lasix, it's L-A-S-I-X. And I take this, most of the drugs are taken twice a day, one of them is only taken in the morning. And then I take, they recommended a thyroid tablet just, I guess, to boost up my thyroid. So the question I have, I guess, is, one thing that they did, I guess this will be the question to consider. I was much more active, obviously, before my heart situation. And they said, take it easy. Well, I have been taking it easy. I've been sitting around not doing much. I don't walk. I don't as much. I don't out of pure necessity in the store. And I'm wondering now, is my inactivity causing the valve to shrink, or are the drugs causing it to shrink, or what exactly may be going on with me?
All right. Let me address this on several levels. First of all, I don't think the drugs are having an impact on the on your valvular disease. I have some questions about those numbers. That's a rather dramatic change in valvular size. So,
yeah, in a short time, yes.
Yeah. So I'm not sure what's going on there unless, you know, there's some pathology going on that is totally unrelated to this. I'd worry about, you know, infectious diseases of the valve that can cause calcification and basically growths that can close down a valve. Atrial fibrillation in and of itself decreases cardiac output by 15-20%. So when you are in fibrillation, your heart is not beating as efficiently as it is when it's in what we call sinus rhythm, normal rhythms. Young people can tolerate that 15-20% drop in output quite nicely. Older people tend to have not as well functioning hearts to start with. You decrease their efficiency by 15 or 20%, you can get in trouble. Generally, the rule is don't be sedentary. Be as active as you can comfortably be.
Oh, that's great. I love to get up and move around. I want to get going.
Yes.
I'm 83, just to let you know, so you're not dealing with a youngster. Their word was to take it easy, and, you know, I become sedentary up the yazoo. I can't tolerate this. But then on the other hand, I'm thinking, well, if I'm active, is this going to cause and trigger another episode of this fibrillation?
It might trigger some fibrillation, but the reality is old people do not do well with sedentary lifestyles. Being sedentary is a killer.
I believe that, and I think I'm walking, talking evidence of it. If that is shrinking because of inactivity, then obviously at the rate I'm going, if I decrease that much in 10 months or so, I don't see much hope. 10 months from now, because if it's going to keep shrinking, I'm going to have a serious heart attack or something like that, and that'd be maybe the end of it.
If your valve is going bad that fast, and again, I have some questions about that, but if it's actually going that bad that fast, then I'd say you're probably looking at a replacement in the extremely near future. So, you know, instead of calling a radio show, you need to call your cardiologist and get in and get reevaluated.
Well, they kind of stopped doing anything because of the COVID problem. They just
They had things scheduled for
January of this year. Instead, it just disappeared. February. So as the problem came along, they just, you know, that was it. Just continue with your meds and
call us when
it's over.
Yeah, but you're calling them from the morgue is probably not going to be really efficient.
I have no pain or anything like that. I don't even feel like I get short of breath. It's only when they run the second scan that I wouldn't have been even aware there was a problem.
Yeah.
Except I've been sitting around so much.
Yeah. Get up and go walk.
Are these scans misread sometimes?
Is it possible that it wasn't
either right at the beginning or the second scan is incorrect?
Yes, absolutely.
That would explain, because that's a drastic drop.
In the real world, nothing done to or by human beings is perfect. All right?
Well, that's true.
And so, laboratory results are not ordained by God. They're done by imperfect human beings on imperfect machines created by human beings, and there's a fair bit of human judgment involved. So that is a real winning comment that you made. Anytime.
Okay, I'm going to up my activity. I never have any problem.
Call your cardiologist, okay? Call and tell him you're really worried about this change. Let him explain the change to you, because he knows his lab a lot better than I do. He will be able to give you better advice. But the reality is, sitting still, not being active, you're going to get weak, you're going to get frail, you're going to die. So do as much as you can comfortably do without pain. That's the real world.
And with that and the music, that means we got to take a quick break, but we'll be back. We'll be talking with John from Tacoma. A question about the ultraviolet light that you mentioned a little earlier about killing the virus. And then a question about lectins. And that could be interesting. All right. And then we've got two lines open, which means you can call with your questions. Call us at 1-888-312-5757.
I definitely would recommend that people attend a seminar. It was a great overview of what he does, but the real results are in the program, and that speaks for itself. The results came almost immediately, and they've been getting better and better.
Don't hang up. No, no. Don't you do it now. Don't hang up. No, no. Don't hang up like you always do.
And I guess that is a message. Don't hang up, John and Jack, because we're coming. Oh, and even Kathy now from Renton has a question about pneumonia. So don't hang up. And you are listening to Leading Edge Medicine. Shall we just, let's just start grabbing some more calls.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Let us go to Tacoma and talk to John. Hey, John, welcome to the show.
Good morning, sir.
Hi. Good morning. So as an engineer who's had a fair amount of experience with infrared and a little bit with ultraviolet, I looked into the discussion of the thing that took place.
Uh-huh.
And so I checked it this morning, and there's very little indication of, well, there's, I couldn't find anything that said that they're currently using it for anything. But when you look back at the time frame when the statement was made, so uh-huh. a week before the president stated things about the use of it inside the body, there was a very specific article by Cedars-Sinai
mm-hmm.
that said that they were doing research on that, and there were several
Precisely.
Companies that were explicitly saying they were going to do it and showing videos of how it worked and saying it would just use type A radiation and things like that. So it was, you know, a real potential thing at the time.
Yeah, but here's the problem is that, you know, somebody in the White House, I am confident, one of the doctors said, you know, this is, there's research studies being done, but there's a big step between, you know, basic research and clinical usage. But they told him that, you know, yes, this will kill the virus, and the president garbled it. He took the leap that laymen often take, and took what the scientists are talking about research, and he applied it to clinical usage. And, you know, I understand it. The press didn't, of course. They whacked him and said, you know, he's trying to kill people and all this sort of. He's not. He was repeating what he heard to the best that he understood. And I run across that on this show all the time. I talk about research, and people send me emails and demand to be treated with it right now. You know, and just because somebody's doing research doesn't mean that it's in clinical use. And even if it is in clinical use, it sure as hell doesn't mean that I do it. I know about a lot of stuff I don't do. That's just the real world. So, yes, ultraviolet light is, it kicks a lot of energy out, you know, anywhere from 10 to 120 nanometers. You've got a big impact, and yes, it destroys bacteria, it destroys viruses, and it triggers skin cancers in human beings. It mutates our cells too. So I think that it's going to have limited utility. I think that it probably has some utility in perhaps sterilizing air. You know, if you've got a box that is putting out an intense, extreme ultraviolet light source enclosed in the box, and you're flowing air through it, you're probably killing everything that was in that air when it went through the box, and you're putting quasi-sterile air out. Gee, that would be a nice air filter, I guess. But that doesn't mean we're going to irradiate human beings in hopes of eliminating coronavirus. Certainly, we aren't doing it now.
You're right about that, but there was mentioned that they're using it for the two openings at the other end for different treatments. So it's not, you know, completely.
Sure. No, it's not. And like I said, but these are research. You know, we do a lot of stuff that is for research that is not ready for clinical prime time. But often lay people like the president don't understand the difference. You know, he's a business guy, and he understands a hell of a lot more about building skyscrapers than I do. But when it comes to the way the human body works, I think I've got an advantage on him, you know?
Yeah. Well, as an engineer, we go to the toolbox, pick out the tool, and apply it. And so it's not inconceivable that a person might think that way, as opposed to, well, we can do a 3-year trial.
So. Yeah, of course. Yeah. And that was my point. I'm not trying to diss the president. I think I understand pretty much why he said what he said. And as a layman, it was probably not an unreasonable conclusion on his part. But happened to be wrong. On the other hand, the you know, the reaction of the press was way overboard. He wasn't suggesting that we go out and irradiate everybody to get rid of the virus. So what are you going to do?
Okay, well, I'll let you go.
All right, take care, sir. Bye.
Thank you, John. Thank you, John. That opens up a line at 1-888-312-5757, and to Kirkland we go. And Jack. Hey, Jack, welcome to the show.
Hello there.
Hello, sir.
I just want to inquire of your opinion, Dr. Mixon, on a couple of lectures that were given on public TV a few weeks ago having to do with lectins that this doctor indicated were in all kinds of food that we think are even healthy foods like tomatoes and so forth, and that lectins causes a problem down in your valve, or your bowels, I should say, and he called it leaky gut, and that leaky gut causes us to die off earlier than we normally would if we avoided the lectins. So I don't know whether you're aware of this particular lecture. Oh, you are. Okay. Well, maybe you could give your opinion on whether these lectins, which does not appear in my dictionary, unless I'm spelling it wrong. But anyway, I'm just curious as to whether there really is something to this, or whether he's trying to sell diets that are somehow he benefits from. I don't know.
I think the latter is probably highly probable. Let's talk a little bit about lectins. Lectins are basically a form of fiber that is present in a wide variety of foods. And generally, high-fiber foods are healthier for us than low-fiber foods. Some people are susceptible to some lectins, and leaky gut syndrome is a real phenomenon. We deal with it in our clinic all the time. A lot of what we do with people that are having malabsorption issues is trying to correct their leaky gut syndrome. But I would point out that if you look at the places in the world that have the longest lifespans, where people, you know, die at the oldest ages, they tend to be places where high lectin foods such as beans are part of the dietary staple. Beans are very, very high in lectins, and yet people that eat lots and lots of beans in their society tend to live a lot longer than people that eat low-fiber, low-lectin loads. So in theory, yes, you can trigger leaky gut syndrome, and we have a lot of leaky gut syndrome in our society. But I don't think it's primarily due to too much fiber in our diet. If anything, the American diet is seriously deficient in fibers of all kinds. So I guess that's where I come down on that issue thus far. Okay?
Okay. But do we need to determine what how many lectins there are in our various foods redirect our diet based on that?
If you are having a high level of systemic inflammation, or if somebody has done your inflammatory markers and you have high systemic inflammation, then we need to look for a reason. And one of the reasons we would look for is leaky gut syndrome. And if you have leaky gut syndrome, we need to address that. And that would probably involve altering your individual diet. But if you do not have indications of leaky gut syndrome, then high fiber foods are far better for you than low fiber foods.
Right? I see.
No, absolutely right. And you know, diets like the Mediterranean diet that are rich in complex carbohydrates have stood the test of time.
Yes, they have.
And they do promote grains and beans and other forms of complex carbs. Like Dr. Mixon said, that complex fiber is very important to reduce risk for leaky gut, in fact, and also sometimes it reduces risk for colon cancer. So for multiple health reasons, lectins are important in life. However, if you do have an underlying inflammatory disease and your inflammation markers are high and you have autoimmune issues, then you might consider reducing your intake of lectins.
Yep.
I see. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome, sir. Take care.
You bet. Thank you. All right. You know, I've got a sticky wicket here, situation.
What is it?
Well, we've gotten a call.
Yes.
Somebody didn't want to go on the air, but that's understandable. That doesn't have a computer, that wants a free health analysis appointment.
Well, give them one.
Well, I will, but I'm not sure it'll help a whole lot. Here's the number, 866-86-YOUNG. Unfortunately, nobody is there today.
Correct.
Or tomorrow. But if you call and leave your name and number, in the order in which you call, you'll be called back. I'm just hoping there will be a free health analysis appointment available for them in August, because this person is eager to get the $100 of free longevity supplements. Now, I will tell you, one of the reasons we are not giving away the free $100 of supplements is that occasionally, and this happened yesterday, just coincidentally, somebody came in and really didn't care about the blood test, really didn't care about the in-body.
They just wanted the free supplements.
That's all they wanted.
Oh,
and
really?
They said, give me the supplements, and the appointment in 10 minutes, they were gone.
Oh, really?
So there are some really unbelievably tacky, crazy, rude people that are just looking for something free and are willing to take advantage of our generosity.
Yep.
And that's one reason that it doesn't happen a lot, but maybe once a week or so. And it's just, can you believe doing that? Would you ever do something like that?
I guess what I'm thinking is it's taken away a spot that somebody else yes. would really have benefited from.
It's not so much the $100
yeah.
that bothers us.
We would
us.
Have given it away anyways.
Well,
but
yeah, I mean, gosh.
Somebody
sakes.
Else who might have needed that really.
That appointment,
yeah,
especially
appointment
when they're in short supply.
Yeah.
And I only mention that, and I feel a little bit bad. In fact, we don't know what we're going to do from September on. But for right now, because of the demand is so great, at least we know that we're not going to be doing the free $100 of supplements. What we will do, we don't know. Honestly, we don't know. We haven't figured it out. All we know is that yesterday was just sort of the final straw in our confirmation. But here's the number, 866-86-YOUNG. Regardless, you need to call. If you don't have a computer, you need to call. Leave your name and number. Do it this weekend, and we will call you back. Probably by Monday or Tuesday for sure, we'll know what we're doing for September in case there aren't any left in August.
Can I tell you a little fun story, though,
sure.
just for fun? America is a basically honest place.
Mm-hmm.
Most Americans don't take advantage of people.
And, I agree.
And this person did. But it reminded me of when my wife first came to America.
Mm.
She, of course, was raised in mainland China, which has a real history of scarcity and starvation in the past. And so people grab everything free they can get. I mean, absolutely everything. But when I met her, she was living in Sweden, which is the exact opposite. If you lose your wallet in Sweden, it will be returned with all the money intact. Nobody will steal your stuff in Sweden. I mean, it's
maybe
just
not nobody, but probably
just,
not.
No, I mean, it is an incredibly, incredibly honest society. America's kind of in between. You know, China will steal you blind. It's just part of the culture. And Sweden will, you know, return it no matter what. And America, it depends on the person.
Mm-hmm.
When I met her, she was living in Sweden and she had kind of gotten used to that. But then she came here and we were walking through the mall one day and somebody had free samples. They had a basket with their little free sample stuff in it. And we walked by and we took one out and she noticed other people each taking one and leaving the bulk of the stuff in the basket. And her comment was, you couldn't do that in China.
Mm.
If you put that basket out there, someone would come and they just take the whole basket.
The whole thing, yeah.
They wouldn't just empty it. They take the basket too. because that is the culture. Yeah. You know, the only people you don't cheat in family or you don't cheat in China is your family.
Yeah. I mean, scarcity does that, right?
Well, you cheat the government if you think you can get away with it.
Yeah, but if you don't get away with it.
Yeah, really bad stuff happens to you.
Yeah.
But yes, it's a very different culture than America. But again, America's different from Sweden.
Yeah, definitely different. And, you know, scarcity, as I was saying, will do that. My son left his wallet in a public park many years ago, and somebody brought it home.
Yeah.
His ID was in it, and they brought it home, and they gave it back to him. It was like, wow.
Yes, see, and so here, when that happens, we say, thank you very much. Because it is rare enough that we value it.
Yeah.
In Sweden, nobody would think, well, of course they brought it back.
Well, I'll tell you what. We are going to take a call from Jack and then Kathy when we come back. Jack wants to know about lectins. Kathy wants to know about pneumonia. And what do you want to talk about? What's your question? What's your health concern? What frustrates you that you need maybe a second opinion? Well, here's the phone number, 1-888-312-5757, 1-888-312-5757. For those of you without a computer, we apologize, but you can call, leave your name and your phone number regarding a free health analysis appointment. And just to be clear, beyond August, we will be making available plenty of free health analysis appointments. So there are going to be there. It's just this month you do get the $100 of free supplements. So blessings to you. Good luck. 866-86-YOUNG. We'll be right back.
They called you about the health analysis that I took a year ago. I went to the Linwood office, and I must tell you, your staff is so amazing. At Longevity, they talk to you. They make you understand what's going on, and they give you the numbers so you have a starting point. And that's what I love about coming to you guys.
Ooh, sugar pie, honey bun. You know that I love you. I can't help myself. I love you and nobody else.
Sugar pie, honey bun. You know, I call my granddaughters that now and again.
Uh-huh.
And they look at me, sugar pie,
like,
sugar pie.
What?
Sugar pie? Or is it honey bunch?
They're both.
Or was it honey buns?
Oh, I wouldn't call my
I have never heard, when I hear that song,
yeah.
I can't tell which they're saying. Are they saying honey bunch or honey buns?
Sugar pie?
I don't know.
We'll play it back.
I'm listening to that. I'm saying, what are they saying?
Anyway, what we do. Anyway, let us take some more calls. Let us go to Kirkland and talk to Jack. Hey, Jack. Thanks for calling in.
Oh, yeah, we talked about lectins.
Yeah, we have a memory program at Longevity. So I'm going to have to check.
The guy pushing the buttons.
I forgot. Well, I've been texting my producer and what have you. Let's go to Kathy.
Hello,
in
Kathy.
Renton. Hi, Kathy. Kathy, are you there? Kathy, are you there?
Hi, yep. First of all, I want to tell you I finally made an appointment for me and my friend, because she's driving, and we couldn't get them in August because we needed back-to-back, so the 1st of September we're going to be coming in.
Wonderful.
Okay. Anyway, what I primarily wanted to ask you is about a friend of mine just passed away last week due to pulmonary fibrosis that she's had for quite a few months. And she contracted pneumonia. And so I'm wondering, how does that happen? What is it, because she was already compromised and that's the germ or whatever that got her? Or is this a normal process in situations?
It's a frequent cause of death in pulmonary fibrosis. Idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis is a disease in which the lungs are basically replaced by scar tissue over time. You make fibrin, and it just restricts the lungs so they can't expand and contract very efficiently. And so you get less and less oxygen. Pneumonia is any infection in the lung tissue itself. So pneumonia can be from a virus, a bacteria, an L-form, a mycoplasma, any number of things. But if it's an infection within the lung tissue itself, it is defined as a pneumonia. So pneumonia tells you where the infection is, not what the infection is. But in people with pulmonary fibrosis and all that scar tissue, so they can't expand their lungs efficiently, they're very susceptible to pneumonias of all types.
I see. Okay, I have a couple more questions. They're quick. I have a whole bunch of masks in a tub sitting in my living room because we're issued them at work every day along with our temperature taking. And I'm wondering, should I get rid of those? Because is it just emitting all these nasty things out of them or what?
All right. Well, if you want to reuse them, here's my suggestion. Take the masks, put the outside up on the windowsill in the sunlight. Okay?
Okay.
On that porous fiber, the ultraviolet light from the sun will kill the viruses. Then you can reuse the mask. So okay. That's one way.
I see.
Now,
okay.
Now if you
go
if
ahead,
you've
I'm
got
sorry.
The K, if you got the KN95s like we give to our patients,
yeah.
I have inadvertently washed a few of them in the washer and dryer because I forgot to take them out of my pocket. I keep them in my back pockets. I have one in each of my two back pockets right now.
Right.
And I discovered that they wash and dry perfectly well.
Okay. That's good to know. I did not know that.
I didn't know that either. It's just that when I washed a couple of pair of pants, I had masks in the pockets.
And they didn't disintegrate in the wash.
They did not disintegrate.
Okay.
They came out in
know.
Perfectly good shape, yep. And I just put them on the next day.
All right. Good.
The ones that we get issued are the trashy ones, you know, the simple
yeah.
ones. So those
yeah.
are gross. And I can't. They itch you and the ugh. Anyway, my last question real quick is, what is something called NAC? And I understand that it's really good for respiratory things. Do you know anything? Of course you know everything about it. But what is it? you're the MD,
N-acetylcysteine. Right? Yeah, N-acetylcysteine. That's what you're talking about. N-acetylcysteine is actually a very useful chemical compound. It's metabolized in your body to make a whole host of potent anti-inflammatory compounds, antioxidant compounds. So we use a lot of NAC in our practice.
Yeah, we actually ran out of it some time ago, but I think we've restocked.
Yeah,
and I think over the last few years, most of my patients have used it, but definitely during the COVID pandemic, every single one of my patients has been on it. The reason being, not only does it help detox the liver, and as you mentioned, is very good for the lungs, we actually use it to help lower homocysteine levels as well. And homocysteine is a marker for vascular inflammation. So it helps reduce vascular inflammation. It helps in the liver functions. As Dr. Mixon said, it has multiple functions for you, including antioxidant functions. And so lung being the primary reason why I've given it to a lot of my patients.
Yeah, in fact, there's even some inhaled N-acetylcysteine that's been used for people that have bronchitis and infections.
That's right.
So, it's a very useful compound. We use a lot of it in our clinic.
Darn it, I won't be able to get one then, will I, on September 1st?
Well, you can get them right now online.
I know.
We haven't yet decided what our freebie will be in September. It'll be something. We just haven't decided what. So
I see. All right, well, thanks so much for all your help and information.
Right.
It's really been helpful. Have a good day, you guys. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Kathy.
Bye-bye.
I was just reading earlier today that some European top health officials, so it says here, that say that masks aren't that helpful. They point out that the COVID mask stops particles to 3 microns, but the virus is 1/8 that size.
Yeah, but you're not trying to stop the virus per se. You don't have a stream of viruses. The virus is carried on droplets, on little bits of moisture that
Got
come
it.
Out of your mouth. and out of your nose. And so the harder you breathe, the louder you talk. If you're shouting, if you're singing, mm-hmm. you're sending a lot more aerosol into the air. And the mask is basically grabbing the moisture and in the process
stopping
getting the viral particles.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
But that's why if you have homemade masks or commercial, not medical masks, two-layer masks
mm-hmm.
work very good because the outer layer stops most, and then if it gets through there, it'll get caught on the second layer. So you want two-layer masks.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good to me. All righty. So here we go. We've got to go to a break here. It'll take us about 2 minutes for the top of the hour news, a little break. FCC says we got to do a station ID and then some news, and we will be back before you know it. We have Brad still on hold. He's got a question about fasting, which can be fascinating. So stick around for a question from Brad. And then three lines are open, which means you can call during this break. And we will get to you after we talk to Brad when we come back. Here's the toll-free number, 1-888-312-5757. 1-888-312-5757. So don't go far. Stay with us. And we'll be back with the second hour of Leading Edge Medicine right here on 570 KVI.